Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
So very thankful to have you tuning in to Words of Grace today, and we hope that your 2021 has been a year that, despite the ups and downs, despite the troubles that we have gone through as a nation in this very unusual year, we pray that this has been a time that you have felt God in your life, that you've drawn closer to Him. And if that wasn't the case for you, then we would just encourage you as we move into the new year, 2022, well, this is a great opportunity for each of us to draw closer to God, to start working on our relationship with Him even today. If you listen to Words of Grace regularly, or even if this is your first time tuning in, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a letter by addressing that to Words of Grace, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or you can always go to flintriverpbc.org, that's our church website, and find a variety of ways to get in contact with us. Also, as we're talking about websites, remember that you can always go to my personal ministry website, which is found at march2zion.com, and find a variety of resources to aid you in your walk with Christ. Either way, we sure do look forward to hearing from you soon.
Jesus, Thou art the sinner's friend, as such I look to Thee. Now in the fullness of Thy love, O Lord, remember me.
Remember
Calvary. Remember.
Today's broadcast will be part one of a message entitled, If Risen, Then Seek, and this comes from the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This was a message that we actually delivered a couple of weeks ago at Flint River in our continuing study through the book of Colossians, moving away from Paul's warnings against certain false teaching that had affected that church. We come to chapter 3, in which he begins to give them great practical instruction. This passage says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This message will be broken into two pieces, this week and next. Today, considering this language, if ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, what it means to be risen with Christ, how are we risen with Him, and what does that mean for our own personal lives? We hope you enjoy part one of If Risen, Seek. I've entitled my message this morning, If Risen, Then Seek. If Risen, Then Seek. And we'll turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, continuing our series through Paul's letter to this church here at Colossae. Let's read those first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. As we begin this new chapter, we also begin shifting gears, as it were, into more practical aspects and exhortations regarding our discipleship, moving past the warnings against these specific errors that were threatening the church at Colossae. Now, we've spoken about those over the past several weeks, but just to remind you of what we considered in a greater depth last week, the three major threats that were potentially damaging this church body was, number one, legalism. Now, do we ever struggle with legalism in the church? We do. Number two, angel worship, and we considered some modern applications of that. And lastly, asceticism, which is where someone might afflict themselves or harm themselves thinking that that's what the mortification of sin is all about, as you see in verse 5, which will be something we consider next time. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. While we are to mortify sin, a person that falls to this ascetic sort of lifestyle, he or she believes that through afflicting themselves or causing themselves pain, they please God and are more holy than other people. And these, again, are great threats that had been affecting the church here at Colossae. Today's message, along with the next message from verse 5, I believe adds balance to what we said last week. So last week we talked about the danger of legalism. What does legalism teach? Do so that you are righteous. Do so that you are righteous. And asceticism, which teaches to afflict yourself, well, while we don't afflict ourselves to be more holy, we do have this obligation to God to mortify or put to death certain carnal, sinful parts of our nature. And so last week, if you only had that message, you might come to the conclusion that, well, everything is totally secure in Christ, and obviously legalism isn't the way, asceticism isn't the way, so let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You might even come to the false conclusion that Paul confronts in the book of Romans to just go out and sin, do evil, that good may come, because God is glorified in saving you from sin, so you might as well go sin all you want so he can save you from that much more, so he gets that much more glory. And you think that's an absurd thought, but Paul actually confronts that idea in the book of Romans. So
in our minds and in our teaching, in our theology, there's always this need for balance. Remember that we are to walk the straight and narrow. Straight and narrow means that this is a very narrow road, what biblical orthodoxy is, what true discipleship is. It's easy to veer to one direction or the other and end up in the ditch on either side of the road. It is easy when you stand for anything to become an extremist, focusing only on one aspect and not the balancing of aspects from Scripture. And so I believe that today we will, after tearing down the idea of legalism, I think that we will have good clarity that there are many things that we are commanded to do, and yet as we go about this life doing, we do because of Christ and because of our affection for Him, and not to somehow establish our righteousness by the things that we do. It doesn't make us any more holy in the sight of God when we obey, but we are to do this to bring Him glory. We're to set our affections on things above and work out all that this means in our lives, not to be better than other people, but simply because we love the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just tell you, when you serve God and you do what God would have you to do purely because you love Jesus, your life is going to be one full of joy, full of joy. Now, I can present before you two different people. One person who does good works because they think they have to do good works to go to heaven, and one person who does the exact same good works because he loves Jesus. And I'll tell you which one of those two men are happy and which one of those two men are miserable. The man that does what he does because he loves the Lord Jesus is going to be a happy man. And so I believe today gives us the balance on things that we do. Again, if risen, then seek. There's a lot of doing that we should do. But this is, again, not to establish our righteousness, but simply because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Paul says, if a person is risen with Christ, they should seek what he refers to as those things which are above. And we'll comment on those things which are above in just a moment, because he repeats this statement in verse 2, set your affection on things above. And so we'll save most of the commentary on setting your affection on things above as we consider verse 2, for when we consider verse 2. The first thing that we want to consider is what it means to be risen with Christ. What does it mean? That's important language. If ye be risen with Christ. Communicated to us in that statement is all of our salvation. If you be risen with Christ. Now, just for a moment, before we talk of the specifics of how we're risen with Him and what that means for me, what is the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? It's victory. It's absolute, complete victory. What did Paul say in chapter 2 regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That He spoiled principalities and powers. He made open show of them. He made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, it being His resurrection. And so the world does everything they can to destroy Him. From Psalm 2, the heathen raged, that is the Gentiles, the Romans raged against Him. Pilate, the soldiers, Herod, Herod's men. And the people, the Jewish people, imagined a vain thing. They crucify Him. They say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast God's authority off of us and do what we want to do. They crucify Him. They murder Him effectively. Oh, I know He had to lay down His life. No man could take it from Him. But He submitted to what they did unto Him. And what they did unto Him was unto the death. And in their hearts, they were guilty of murder. And yet, Jesus rose victoriously. Again, from the second psalm, the Lord in heaven shall laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Jesus' resurrection is the ultimate stamp of victory. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. When He rose again, Jesus of Nazareth was proven to not merely be a prophet, though He were a prophet, to not merely be a king, though he were a king, not merely to be a man, though he was a man just like we are in all points, yet without sin. In the resurrection, he was proven to be the Son of God with power. As he rose again, he had victory. If you are risen with Christ, think about what that conveys. If you're risen with Christ, you are victorious. You are a victor. Does that mean that in this life I get to walk around naming it and claiming it, being a victor over everything, and I get the job I want, the car I want, the house I want, I got the wife I want? You don't survive this long being dumb. You have victory over this world because you're risen with Christ. This communicates complete and total victory over all enemies, though, as we know, we don't experience this and the outworkings of it each and every day necessarily, but there's coming a day, as we'll see in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When this victory that Christ has wrought for you and you have in him comes to complete fruition, when every single enemy of God and your ultimate enemies, Satan, his angels, and death, and all of those that belong to him will be separated, cast into the lake of fire forever, and you will reign victoriously with Christ forever. And it has no end. It is everlasting, eternal, our rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're risen with him, just focus on those words as we go into the rest of our message. If you're risen with him, by necessity, you have the same victory over everything in this world that is against you that he has against everything in this world that was against him. And he made open show of it, triumphing over them and it in his resurrection. If you be risen, there's a couple of senses that I want to share with you a little more specifically about being risen with him. This has reference to both his representation of us on the cross. We were represented by him upon the cross of Calvary and in his resurrection, of course, but also in the new birth as the resurrecting power of God has given you spiritual life. Sometimes preachers will read that and they say, well, what does that mean, risen with Christ? And so some of them will say, well, that means when Christ was crucified and was made the offering for your sin and was buried and was resurrected on the third day, as he came forth victorious, you were there represented in him, you are now victorious. And then others will say, no. That has reference to the new birth, where you are resurrected, quickened when you were dead in trespasses and in sins. And maybe somebody asked me the question, well, preacher, is it A, or is it B? Is it that you're there represented by him on the cross, or is it that you have been raised incorruptible? Your soul has been quickened when you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Which is it, preacher? And the answer to that question is yes. You were there represented with him. You rose with him. It was just as much as if you were there, and at the same time, because of what he did for you on the cross, he applies it to you directly and personally in your life as he quickens you, raising your dead soul from death and sin to life in Christ. Now, just to break those down a little bit, Christ represented you upon the cross of Calvary. We remind you of this often. Now, if those of you that have been at Flint River for a long time, you know what verse I'm about to quote. Where is it? It's in 2 Corinthians. What chapter? Chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Have you ever heard me quote that verse?
Yeah.
It's on a plaque on my wall because it's probably my favorite verse in all of the Bible, because everything we have is in this verse. Christ, who was sinless, taking upon him the guilt of our sin and dying for us upon the cross of Calvary, giving us his righteousness. When Christ was on the cross, the point of this passage in our thought today, when he was upon the cross, our sins were laid on him. Isaiah 53 says, he shall lay on him the iniquity of his people, of his sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Prophetically, Hundreds of years before Christ was born into the world, Isaiah tells us that God's suffering servant, the man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief, our sins will be laid on him. As Jesus died upon the cross, we were there represented by him. God looked at him as if he had lived our lives. Now, we often like to remind you of the old spiritual hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And you're like, nobody here's that old. But there's a sense in which, yes, we were there when they crucified him. We were represented by him. He was judged as if he had lived our lives, and we are given his righteousness as if we had lived his life. Which, to jump ahead, we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Christ took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness in that transaction upon the cross of Calvary. Now, I don't know about you, but when you struggle with guilt, when you find yourself depressed because you know the things that you've done in your life, you know how sinful you have been in your life, the laws of God being written on your heart, testifying to you continually, Satan whispering in your ear how you fall short of that perfect standard, I want you to remember that Christ gave you his righteousness. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. Christ is what God sees, because Christ stands between you and his Father as our mercy seat or our propitiation. And so we are risen with him, number one, in the sense that on the cross, Christ represented us. As he died, he represented us. As he rose again, he represented us. And so we are risen with him. And there's coming a day when he returns and every single deceased child of God will be raised to be with him in the resurrection of life. Now, let me tell you, there's another resurrection, the resurrection of damnation that is mentioned in John chapter 5. And those that don't belong to him, those who are yet in their sins, they are raised according to that resurrection. But beloved, we who are in Christ will be raised again, completely incorruptible, glorified, conformed to the image of his Son. That work that he has done in us, in the heart, in the new birth, that will be our completeness. We will have zero sin, zero struggle, no unbelief, no doubts, no afflictions, but we will be just like Christ for all of eternity. We've been risen with him as he rose again and we were represented, but there's coming a day when we will be risen by him, conformed to his image. And what a day that we yearn for, that perfect day. Number two, we are risen with him in the new birth. And again, this is when the actual work on the cross is applied to you directly. My second favorite passage in probably all the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now, you and I believe according to the working of his mighty power. We believe in Christ because God has wrought his mighty power on us. But I want you to notice what type of power this is. There's a lot of power in the world. What sort of power are we talking about here? Power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that enabled you to believe. In other words, God has raised your soul from death in sin to life in Christ. Where do you get that? Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and raised us up together. The new birth is a quickening, a raising up by the exact same power that God used when he raised Christ from the dead. Now, as Primitive Baptists, we love to hammer on the point that Regeneration is not decisional. You did not decide to be regenerated. Well, how do you know that? Because it's a resurrection. This could get silly and absurd and out of hand. But when Lazarus was dead, did Lazarus sit there in the tomb saying, you know, I really hate being dead. It's awful. It stinks, literally. I'm laying here. There's nothing to do. I'm just dead and I'm tired of it. No, he's dead. He's rotting away. His body's decomposing. It is disgusting. And Jesus comes to him and he simply speaks, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. Did Lazarus decide to be resurrected? No. Did you decide to be resurrected? How special would you be if you could choose not to be dead when you were dead? You know, if people could choose not to be dead when they were dead, Maple Hill Cemetery would be empty today. I don't know, after 2020 and 2021, some people might be like, you know what, I don't know, I could go sleep another few years and then raise again. You know, let me just go put on ice for a few years till all of this blows over and life goes back to normal. No, people who are dead have no power to impact their condition because they are dead. The new birth is the rising from the dead, as it were, of your soul, passing from death in sin to life in Christ. And I love to tie this in. You might wonder, how do I know if that has happened to me? Well, simply, if you believe the things that I'm saying, it has already happened to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you believe, it's because you are passed from death unto life. You have everlasting life. Oh, and I love that it's everlasting. Let me tell you, if there was a way I could lose it, I'd lose it. I'd lose about everything else, maybe sometimes even my mind. And yet this is something that never ends. If you believe, don't sit and think in terms of what do I need to do? Because I feel conviction of sin. I know God is there. I know His Son is the Christ. And yet, oh, I feel so unworthy. Let me tell you, if you find yourself in that position and you believe the things that I'm talking about today, you don't have to worry. There's nothing for you to do. It's already been done by Christ. What He would tell you to do is come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Take His yoke upon Him, learn of Him, and you'll find rest unto your souls. Because He finished the work, not you, not me. But it's complete. And let me just tell you, if it is complete in Christ, who can add anything to the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ? How dare men think that they can do anything to add to the work of Christ? If you're risen with Him, you are risen with Him. And part of that is that you have been quickened when you were dead in trespasses and in sins.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.